FM. 81 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport. K223BI. 98.9 Monroe West Monroe. K255BT. 100.1 Lake Charles. K261EB. And KQJO FM.
99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana. Natchez, Mississippi.
And online at www.kaytfm.com.
Church. I'm Reverend Stanley Mathis, Senior Pastor of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, and you're listening to Paradise Ministry. Paradise Ministry is now brought to you by Robinson Mortuary. Robinson Mortuary is a family-serving family. They are located at 1850 Military Highway, Pineville, Louisiana, and their phone number is area code 318-442-7300. Join us now as we enter into a service already in progress as I preach and teach the Word of God. Sustainer of all things. You sanctioned, declared, and decreed all the things that we will do in life. We pray now, Lord God, that as we invite you in to another worship service, that you would be pleased with all the initiatives and the efforts that we are transpiring today. So now, Father, we pray by your eternal power, your grace, as well as your provision, that you would now breathe on me. Fill me now, Lord God, with spirit anew, that I may say what you've anointed me to say and do what you've anointed me to do. We glorify you in the highest, for truly you're worthy of all praise, you're worthy of all honor, and you're worthy of all glory. It's in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. Giving honor to God, to my brothers and sisters in the ministry, Reverend Cotton, Reverend Bell, and to you, the Antioch family, those that are listening by Radio Paradise Ministry, and those of you that are watching as we stream live on the internet, we greet you once again in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, there's a word from the Lord that is taken from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, verses 16 through 21. And Acts of the Apostle, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Gospel of John, 14th chapter, and verses 16 through 21, and Acts 1 and 8. And where you have found it, say amen. Where we find these words which are recorded. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwell with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, but I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Acts 1. And 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to use for a topic this morning, a promise made and a promise kept. A promise made and a promise kept. An unusual topic for times like these, but in times like these, we really need to be sure we really know and understand what promises are. Promises made and promises kept. First of all, a promise is defined as a commitment or a declaration to do something for someone. When we think about that, as we wrestle with the concept of promises, how often have you made a promise and you were not able to fulfill the promise? I promise to pay you back tomorrow, and you never get paid. I promise to do better, and you stay the same way. I promise to go to school, and you never get back to the academic side. I promise to get married, and you're still single. I promise to get a job, and you're still unemployed. I promise to change, but the change never happens. My brothers and sisters, I thought about that because there are so many promises in life that we make that are unfulfilled. Promises that we desire to do, but sometimes for some reason, knowingly or unknowingly, or because of stubbornness, we fail to do those things. I was told as a kid growing up, if you cross your fingers, Mike, behind your back, the promise doesn't count. How many times have you crossed your fingers? And maybe we're crossing them now. So many promises were made, but so often none of them were kept. There are many times we desire to fulfill our commitment, but for some reason, we could not. So Jesus answered the promise question in John 14, 26. And the promise question was concerning all of the things the Father would do in the future. Isn't it amazing how Jesus also spoke in the present tense, but he was able to speak in the future tense because of who he was? He could do that because he is omniscient. He knows all things. And because he knows all things, he knows the future as well as the past. What kind of God then is it that we know and that we serve that knows more about you than you know about yourself? Before you do something tomorrow, he already knows it. The things we think, he already has a concept of it. He knows our character, our characteristics. He knows how we're going to do it, when we're going to do it, and whether the concept that we do it is literally from our heart or whether we want our ego trip to be pumped up and get a pat on the back. That's the God that we serve. He knows whether we are right and truthful in every single thing that we do. We serve an awesome God who looks far beyond the many faults and the frailties we have. And there are many faults and frailties in our life. Anybody got any faults in your life? We have faults because when we were born, we were all born with a nature that allowed us to do things that are contrary to what God wants in our life. But when you have accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, there should be a change. Lord, I promise to do better, but I'm still acting the same way. You haven't quite made it yet. My brothers and sisters, Jesus said something so profound concerning something that we need to wrestle with and something that we need to get a handle on. He said to his disciples, that he will send you the Holy Spirit to teach and remind you. Sometimes we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of who he is, why he came, and the efforts of all of the endeavors that we have in life. We need to be reminded because he's the one who declared things so that each one of us could enjoy all the amenities that we have in life. So the historical text behind this is in the Last Supper, when Jesus is preparing his disciples for the time when he would no longer be with them in the physical sense. Jesus told his disciples something really unusual. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus then said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." There are so many people trying to get to the Father by many ways. And Jesus said, "This is the only way you can get to me." But there's something so significant that's attached to getting there, and it has to do with something Jesus was about to share with him concerning the Comforter. So let's examine it. The disciples had been with Jesus, experiencing every situation and every encounter that Jesus would go through in life for 3.5 years. All of the things that he would witness, all of the praying, the teaching, all of the sickness that was around him, Jesus was aware of, that the disciples should have been embracing and learning from. For example, they saw him turn water into wine at the wedding in Cana. Yeah. They saw him feed the 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. And can I bust your bubble? I have shared, and I shared with pastors, and I shared with the president, how God is able to take a little and do a lot. Can we go a little bit farther? Yeah. We had X number of dollars to build this edifice, this building, and we didn't think it was enough money. When we prayed and when we fasted, God says, "You haven't seen what I can do." When you pray and when you humbly submit yourself to the Lord, when he has given you a mandate of what he desires for you to do, God says, "I will take a little and I will expand it and I will make a lot of it." And when he expanded, you'll have more than enough. That's my Joshua coming. Right. And when he expanded it, you will see all that God can do. How did God do it? He's God. Yeah. Is there anything too hard for God? No. When we stop using our own little knowledge and start letting God have his way, he can do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or even think. How do you be amazed when we know we serve a God of creation, who said, "Let there be," and everything that he made came into existence. If you need money, you start trusting in the Lord. My brothers and sisters, he's the same God who healed the sick. He's the same God who gave sight to the blind.